Amen. As you stand tonight, I'll read to you a few verses of Scripture and let you be seated. I believe that, as always, anytime the word of the Lord goes forth, there is somebody that it is going to affect. It may not be everybody at one time, but I know this, the word does not return void. It's going to accomplish that which it is set out to do. So I have that in my mind tonight, that somebody needs to hear this word. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 10. Just before Solomon takes over and builds the temple, David gathers the congregation together. An old David, if you will, an old gray-haired, no-haired, somewhat of a weakened man after being the vibrant David that could run and dance with all of his might before the Lord. But now he finds himself older and weaker. And one time you might recall he went to fight another giant. And the Bible says he strapped on his sword to go fight him. Now the first giant, he said, the Lord doesn't save by a sword. But this one, he strapped on his sword. He said, I'm going to go fight this giant. And when the other men saw it, they said, David, you're too... He said, though weak, I'm anointed. Though anointed, I am weak today. And so they took the sword away from him, lest they'd put out the light of Israel. So you and I tonight, there's some things we need to learn how to hand over to somebody else. And sometimes we need to learn how to hand some things over to God. Amen. And that's what I want to talk about. So this David has found himself. He wanted to build God a house, but he has to hand it over to somebody else. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord, a God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. Now watch. In thine hand it is to make great. It's in your hands the power and the might and the majesty and the honor and the glory. All is in your hands, and to give strength unto you, unto all. Hallelujah. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. I want to preach for a little while tonight from this title, Hand It Over. Hand it over. In thy hand, it can become great. But if it stays in my hand, it will not prosper. Say it with me, hand it over. It's time for somebody to hand it over. God, we come before you tonight realizing that if we could try to control things that are spiritual, our carnal selves cannot contain those things, but they are of God. And those things that are spiritual, we must realize quickly that it is of God. And we must turn those things over to you, lest we grieve the Spirit and that we destroy what you're trying to do in our lives and in others. So God, help us tonight to realize those things that we need to hand over to you in Jesus' name. God bless you. Look at somebody before you be seated and say, hand it over. Hand it over. Hand it over. God bless you. You can be seated. Hand it over. David, again, had a desire to build God's house, but he had reached a time in his life for two reasons he couldn't build it. Number one, too much bloodshed, as the Lord said, you can't do it. You're a man of war. But he took Solomon, which was very tender before the Lord, and he was going to use him who had not shed blood and use his wisdom and so forth. But another reason, David was old. I mean, he had gotten up in age, and it's just, you know, it's like a lady came into my office the other day and her daughter, and they came in, and she was 84 years old, getting around pretty good, you know, and she sat down, and after a while, she said, you know, I was doing good till last year, she said, and then I started feeling my age. And she said, this getting old is the pits, you know. And I said, I'm starting to feel it at 60. You know, she said, well, I was good till last year. But there's some, and her daughter was with her. And what's she doing? Handing it over. It's sometimes you have to realize you can't control things to the grave. And sometimes I'm afraid some of our former, whether it be in the spirit or whether it be in the flesh, they want to hold it to the grave and even control it from the grave. That's why you write a will, so you can control it from the grave. So when you're not even here, they're going to do what you said do with your stuff. and you're not even here. But that's the power we try to do to keep things in our hands, because we don't want to hand it over. And the last thing people want to give up is those keys to the car, right? When you take the car keys away from a mom or dad who's getting elderly and they're dangerous on the highway, I'm telling you, it's like a baby that will cry. Mom, I hope I never have to do that, but if I ever have to, I'm going to say, hand it over. Remember this sermon, hand it over. It's time. There comes a time you're dangerous to other people, and you need to hand it over. Hallelujah. And so we need to realize, as human beings, there comes a time in our lives when we need to be present-minded enough to know what the future holds and say, it's time for me to hand this thing over. And there's so many times we try to fight spiritual battles on our own. But the Bible says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. You're just trying to do it the old-fashioned way with words and with sticks and stones and never break my bones or how that goes, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. Words do hurt people. And so we try to handle it in our own carnal way when really we need to hand it over to God. And that's what I want to talk about, is we need to learn the time that it is to hand it over. David said, in my day of trouble, I accumulated, and he's telling Solomon and the people, in my day of trouble, not in my day of pleasant, in my day of peace, but in his day of trouble, he said, I picked up some gold, I picked up so much silver, I got some precious stones, I've got so much timber, I did all this in my day of trouble. And we keep waiting, well, if I ever get that job, then I'm going to be, and if I ever get a good car, in your day of trouble, if you're waiting for good to come, it may never come. And you're going to come up before the Lord and they've never done anything. David said, I did this in my day of trouble. When I was running from Saul, I said, I can use that in the house of the Lord. Let me put that in my pocket. I can use that, or I'm going to hide that right here and I'll be back and get that later. Even in your day of trouble, you need to be fruitful. Can you say amen? You can't wait till everything's pleasant to put on the fruit of the Spirit. In your day of trouble, put it on. Hallelujah. Yield some fruit. And so here Solomon is going to take over David's throne. And it was beyond David's hands to go any further. And you have to realize that if you go any further with some things in your hands, you will do more damage than you will do good. And you have to know that time to say, I can't go any further with this. I need to hand it over. And so David is at that point, and he wants to bless the Lord before he hands it over. And he wants to thank the Lord for the victories. And he wants to thank him for the peace. And he wants to thank him, acknowledge his greatness and his majesty and his glory. And he wants to acknowledge that the power of what I have here today came from you, Lord. So never give it up without acknowledging where you got it from. Amen. Don't just, well, I never didn't work out for me. You acknowledge that. You know, if it hadn't been the Lord, you wouldn't have got up this morning. If it hadn't been the Lord, that car would have hit me the other day and hit you today. It's the power of God's keeping power that we're here today. So he blessed the Lord that day. He said he's the God of Israel forever and forever. The Lord is great. Power is in his hand. Glory and victory and majesty is in his hand. The heavens is his. The earth is his. They all tell of his glory. And he is Lord of all of these things. Right? Both rich and honor, he said, cometh from the Lord. But in his hands is power and might. And in thine hands he will give you strength to get it to his hands so he can take over. Many times the hardest thing is letting go. That is the hardest thing. You know, even when there's a squabble between two people, they have trouble letting it go. And at any time you put something in God's hands, listen close, it will prosper. It will prosper. If we could ever, you know, there's that old song, you know, give it to the Lord and leave it there. I've seen that 1,000 times. And almost 1,000 times when they get up, they walk out with it. They take it back with them. They just laid it down for a few minutes. But if you put it in God's hands, it will prosper. But if you want to hold on to it in your hands, I promise you that it will hurt you and hurt others. And so David could have said, well, no, I'm going to build that. And I'm the one that got that timber. And I'm the one that got that gold. And I'm the one that's going to build the house of the Lord. It had never been that beautiful temple that Solomon built. Amen. So you have a choice tonight As I preach, you can weigh it out in your own mind. You can either keep your problems in your own hand and in your own mind, and you can reread it and rehearse it all you want to. That won't solve it. So you can either keep it in your hands and let it dissolve with you, or you can put it in God's hands where the thing that you struggle with now begins to prosper. Because in His hands it says it will prosper, but you got to get it out of your hands. So we look at a very familiar scripture, passage of scripture, from a king that received a letter. In 2 Kings 19 and 14, he has just received a letter from a guy named Rabshakeh, and he is with the Syrian army, and they have just conquered city after city after city, and now he comes and he speaks to the people on the wall to weaken them. And he says, do not trust in Hezekiah. Do not trust in the God of Hezekiah. For we have conquered this city and that city. And his intention was to weaken the people. And a lot of times people gossip to weaken other people, faith in somebody else. And it would, did you know? And what they're trying to do is weaken their confidence in somebody else. And so he came and he began to weaken the people on the wall. And he takes a letter, and he brings a letter to Hezekiah. And let's read. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. Thou shalt not prosper in the hands of Hezekiah. Give up. Your God cannot deliver you. Look at what all the cities we've conquered. He began to go through all the things of how they have destroyed other cities. And he wanted to weaken Hezekiah. And what Hezekiah did, let's read a little further. Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it out. Not in my hands. That ain't my mail. That's not my mail. That letter's not my letter. That's your letter. That's your letter. And rather than Hezekiah dwelling on the bad report, well, let me read that again. Let me read that again. Anybody got a bad report? I don't care. It can be a doctor's report. It can be any kind of report. Bad report. It can be anything. And you can read it and read it and read it. It won't change it. It won't change it. But last time I checked, I'm God's child. Well, when I was a child, if I had something I didn't like, I went to my dad and my mom. I said, look, here. If you're God's child, that's not your mail. Now, there's something on your email called a forward, right? You forward it, you wouldn't know. Forward it. And what you do is you just click forward and you send it to somebody else. And when Hezekiah got that in the 21st century, he said, I'm just going to forward that to the Lord. Let him see. I'm going to copy him on it. And so he takes this bad report and he says, I'm going to hand this over to the Lord. And he took it and he spread it out before the Lord. All the pages and everything. I'm not going to leave it stacked. I'm going to spread it out where you can read everywhere. Make it easy for you. And I don't know tonight maybe what you're going through and what's been in your mail and what kind of report maybe you're facing. But I want to tell you, if you keep it in your hands, you're going to struggle with it. You're going to struggle with it. He could have kept it in his hands and said, just worried about it and fretted about it, you know. I just don't know, you know. They did with those other cities, and, you know, I just don't know. And he said, no. I'm going to bring this to the Lord because it is in His hands that He can deliver. In His hands, great things happen. In my hands, nothing great happens. He's the potter. I'm the clay, right? So I got to put myself in His hands. And so he spread it out before the Lord, knowing that he could not do anything with this situation. And so you have to realize this. You got anything in your pocket? A $20 bill would work. Keys, anything? That pen. Take that pen. That's pen. That's good. Now, I want you to hand that to me. No, you just sit. Keep sitting. Keep sitting. Hand that to me. Hand it. No. Hand it to me. Hand it to me. Come on. As far as you can, hand it. See? No. Just stretch out. Stretch out. Just stretch out. Just stretch. Yeah, there you go. See, that's as far as he can go. That's as far as he can go. Then he's got to hand it to me. And that's why the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand. It was a signifying, that's as far as you can go. Anytime you stretch out, that's as far as, when Abraham would stretch and got the knife, that was as far as he could go. And then the Lord took over. You got to hand it off. And until you stretch out and go as far as you can go, the Lord's not going to take it. See, that's why I didn't want you to get up. I just wanted you to stretch it out. And when you stretch forth your hand, that's what he told him, stretch forth thine hand. And when he stretched forth his hand, God could take over and do what he could not do. And as long as you want to hold on to it and don't give it to me, and you're just going to keep it to you, the Lord's not going to work. He's got to have you deliver it into his hands. And when you deliver it in his hands, Lord, the Red Sea started opening up. Manna started coming from heaven. And he took and struck the rock. The water came out of the rock. Mighty things happened because in his hands, the thing you struggle with becomes easy for him. Hallelujah. And he can't get any glory as long as you want to hold on to it. Because if it works out, you'll say, well, that's God, I knew if I just do that, it'd work out. When you hand it to him, he gets the glory and not you. Amen. Are you still with me? So Hezekiah, verse 15, prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, which is the mercy seat. That's what was between the cherubims. Thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. He's bringing it. He's letting him know that this other kingdom, Assyria, is one of the kingdoms of the earth. And you are the God of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Kind of the same prayer David prayed, right? Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see my letters that I got stretched out here. And hear the words of Sennacherib, that no good bum out there that brought and tried to weaken the people, Lord. Listen to his words, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Lord, he's not reproaching me. He's reproaching you. He's not after me. He's after you. You ever felt like that before? Somebody's not after you. They're after your God. Where's your God now? Why are you so sick? Why are you going through that? I thought you lived for God. They're after your God. Of a truth, he said, of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations in their lands. He said, what he said in that letter was true. This is not a lie. They did destroy those places and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the works of men's hands. They were wood and they were stone. Therefore, they have been destroyed. See, he began, just in praying, he began to strengthen himself. You see, he began to realize, well, wait, that's not really God's. That's the works of their hands. This is not of God. Just because he destroyed that doesn't mean that God's with him. And now, therefore, Lord, O God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand. Take us out of his hand. Hallelujah. We want to be in your hands. That all the kingdoms of the earth. See, it's back to that exalting, that majesty and glory. And we're going to lift your name up. I want all the kingdoms of the earth that they may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Show them, Lord, that you're God over all the gods of the kingdoms of this earth. Show yourself strong. But he cannot do that if you're going to take care of your own problem. He cannot do that. He has to be the one to get the glory. So take it out of your hands and give it to him. Let it go. Verse 32. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Syria. Okay, he heard his prayer. Now listen, look what happens. Thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. He's not even going to come close enough to be a threat to you. He's not going to get close enough to shoot an arrow over the wall. He's not even going to put a encampment about you. I'm going to stop it before it gets there. Why? You put it in my hands. Now let me take care of it. See, that's the problem why we don't want to put our children in God's hands and our loved ones in God's hands, because we don't know what God's going to do. So we want to control it ourselves. But if we'll learn to put them in his hands, he doesn't want to do harm. He wants to do good. And say, whatever it takes, God, I don't want my kids lost. Well, be prepared. because they may have to go through some things. But ultimately, they'll be saved. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. It's like when Cowboy said he's going to leave on the horse he rode in on. He's going to go out just like he came in. And that letter he gave, here, you can take that with you if you want to. Na-na-na-na boo-boo. We don't believe on all that. We're going to serve the one true living God. There comes a time, my brothers and sisters, you've got to draw the line. You have got to make up in your mind who is on the Lord's side. Moses said, let him come unto me. And the Levites gathered around him. As for Joshua, he said, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. There comes a time you've got to draw the line. Hallelujah. Even with your own family. For I will defend this city. Well, that didn't happen until he spread it out and put in his hands and save it. Woo! For mine own sake. Yeah, I don't want to look bad. I don't want to look bad. And that's how Moses talked the Lord out of destroying them that day when the Lord was so angry with them for murmuring and complaining in the wilderness. Moses told the Lord, well, they'll say back in Egypt, you got us out here and you couldn't deliver us. And it's going to look bad. And the Lord said, well, you're right. I don't want to look bad. So I'm still going to slay them, but I'll do it one day at a time rather than all at one time. For I will defend this city and save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. I wonder tonight, have you laid up some stuff like David laid up? Do you remember the sermon I preached called Laying Up Mercy? That's the one thing David laid up was mercy. Mercy for generations to come. It's called the sure mercies of David. And he laid up mercy for his children, even when Solomon did wrong. And I just was reading, and it's so sad to read how wise this man was and what a fool he became. In the end of his life, he loved strange wives, even married a Pharaoh's daughter. And I had to read that twice. Married a Pharaoh's daughter and became an idolater. And the Lord was so wroth with him, he said, I would take the kingdom from him. I would rend it from him. Except for David's sake. Are you living close enough to God that the Lord would look at you and say, you know, your kids are rotten, but I'm going to save them for your sake? Huh? How close are you living to God that you've laid up enough mercy for even your children? Verse 35, and it came to pass a month later, the next year, it came to pass that night. I'm going to tell you, your answer will come as quick as you get it out of your hands. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Get that pen back out. I don't want to do this. Hold that. Hold it. Hold it. I don't want to do that. Me and God's going to, you know, no. Give me that. Either you're going to give me that or you're not going to give me that. Now, if you're going to give me that, give it to me and quit taking it back. Thank the Lord. We should have used that $20 bill I was talking about. That night, you want your problems to change, God will start working on it when? Tonight. Tonight. That night, the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians and 185,000. And I don't know how this happened, but when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpse. They rose up and said, we're dead. We're dead. I don't know, but they were all dead. What I'm trying to tell you is their problems were over with that night. And I'm telling you, your worrying can be over with tonight. Your fear can be over with tonight. Your anxiety can be over with tonight. It's up to you. If you want to hold on to it with the Lord, he's going to let go. You're either going to give it to him or you're not going to give it to him. But he's not going to war with you over it. And so Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed. Wow, the one that sent out the letters departed. He left. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. And if you could read on what you would find, he went into the house of his God to worship, and his two sons come in and slew him while he was worshiping his God, and his other son took over the kingdom. When God does something, he finishes it. Can you say amen? He finishes it. And tonight you need to get it out of your hands. And if you'll get it out of your hands, you'll get it out of your mind. And if you get it out of your mind, then you'll quit thinking about it. And if you quit thinking about it, your joy will return, your peace will return, gladness will return, and life will be good again. But as long as you want to hold on to it, honey, it's going to be hectic. And there's other words you could say. When David came back to Jerusalem, you might remember he came back after fleeing from his son Absalom. And as he's coming back, there is a man named, Shimei, that was his name. And he's on top of a cliff, and he's kicking dust on him, like Billy Martin used to do on those referees. He's kicking dust on him, and he's throwing rocks at him. You bloody man, you bloody man. And he was really supporting Absalom, which now is dead. Okay, you bloody man, you bloody man. You're a man of war. And he's just cursing David with this grievous cursing, the Bible called it, a grievous cursing. And David just keeps on walking. Shielding and walking, and he's cursing him. And the man by David says, hey, you want to go take his head off? I'll be right back. And he said, no, I'm going to hand it to the Lord. I'm just going to hand it to the Lord. He said, I'm going to give it to God, and there may be some good thing happen to me because of this. See, now, my brother, that's handing it to the Lord. He said, I'll just let it go. And you know what happened? That man died at the hands of Solomon. He went to his grave. If we could ever learn not to do back evil that evil has done to us. Because as long as Samson's death was based upon, they did that to me, so I did this to them. They killed my wife, so I burned their fields. They did this to me, so I did that to them. That's what his whole life, look how it ended. Look at how it ended. So you can't live your whole life in retaliation. Just give it to God and leave, help me finish it there. And when the dust settled, David got back on the throne. It didn't stop him from getting back on the throne. When the dust settled, he was still the king. Hallelujah. The people still supported him. And you just need to let the dust settle. And God is going to restore everything you lost. He got back on his throne. It didn't matter what that man said. God had a plan. Hallelujah. It's time for somebody tonight to spread out whatever it is. Just get it all out. If I was you and I was in maybe somebody's shoes, I'd write it down. Say, here you go, Lord. Here you go, Lord. Here you go, Lord. I'm going to give all this to you tonight. Now, don't fool yourself. You better do it. I'm giving this to you tonight. You have to hand it over. Even Jesus handed it over. When you read one gospel, it says, he said, it is finished. You read the other recording, he said it this way. Father, to thy hands I commend my spirit. Did you hear that? Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. I'm handing it over. What did Stephen, the first martyr, say when he did? He said, same thing. He looked into his steadfast in heaven and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he handed it. You need to hand the Lord everything you've been through. That's why he said, it's finished. I've been through the trial. I've been through the ridicule. I've been through the worrying stage. I've been through the crying. I've been through all of these things. I'm finished. Y'all catching that? I'm finished. And I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. And because he gave it to him, he rose again. Right? And if you want to rise again, you're going to have to give it to him. You're going to have to give those things that are spiritual unto him. And he gave up the ghost. Hallelujah. No man could kill him until he was ready, right? He said, no man take my life. I lay it down on my own accord. And I can't make you give this to God. You've got to do it on your own accord and from your heart. Say, I'm tired of this. I can't live like this. It's affecting me and everybody else around me. Lord, the dog don't even want to come around you. Lord, have mercy. Hand it over as they come tonight. You have to realize that if you could have fixed it, it would have been fixed by now. Come on. If you could have fixed it, it would have already been fixed by now. So how much longer do you want to worry about it, wallow in it, think about it, rehearse it? If you could fix it, it would already be fixed by now. But if you haven't fixed it after all these weeks, months, and years, you're not going to fix it. But I know who can. And I know who will. The night you lay it down. And the night you truly say, this is the night I'm getting delivered. Amen. This is the night I'm going to quit worrying about it. Amen. When Hezekiah read those letters, he was bewildered. He didn't know what to do. So he stirred up God. Did you know you can stir up God? I know God stirs us up, and he stirs up enemies to stir us up. But you can stir up God. He began to say, Lord, your name's going to get hurt here because we're your children. And they're going to be looking and say, Lord, your God, not as strong as our gods. And it kind of woke up God. Kind of like when Jehoshaphat one time, he got in trouble too. And he had three enemies come out against him at one time. It was the inhabitants of Mount Seir, the Assyrians, and the Moabites. They all came against him at one time. And do you know who the Lord said don't destroy when they came over Jordan River? The inhabitants of Mount Seir, the Assyrians, and the Moabites. When they came across, he said, leave them alone. Okay, we left them alone. And now here they are. Here they are. And he goes to the Lord. Hezekiah goes to the Lord. He says, now, Lord, he did the same thing, kind of spread it out and said, now, Lord, you told us that if we would leave them alone, you would deliver us. And here we are. The Lord said to bring your request before the Lord. Call for the elders of the church. Just start quoting scriptures back to God. Just start telling God about what he promised. And see if he won't deliver. And he starts saying, God, now this is not our battle because you told us not to fight them. Now here they are come against us. And the Lord said, because you gave it to me, it's not your battle, it's mine. Woo, you're fighting something you don't have to fight tonight. Hallelujah. The Lord can save by many or he can save by few. And he said, well, all I want you to do is get you a group together and start singing a song about the beauty of holiness. Sing about me. And I want you to get to the mountaintop and I want you to watch. And man, they got them a group together to sing and they went to the cliff. And in the valley was those three enemies that had come out against them. They were waiting for them to come out and fight. And they got on the cliff of the rock. Instead of showing them the shield they began to sing, oh, how I love Jesus or something. I don't know what they began to sing about the beauty of holiness. And you know what happened? The Moabites looked at the Amorites and said, I don't like you. And the Mount Seir said, well, I don't like either one of you. And they began to fight among themselves. And they turned the spears and the swords upon each other. And they all died in the valley. And they're just saying, oh, how I love Jesus. Why? They gave it to God. And God will take the enemies that's pestering you and the things that you are worried about and turn them against somebody else. So you can quit worrying about it. Go ahead and live your life. Amen? But it's not going to happen. If you say, well, I better carry an extra switchblade with me just in case this don't work. In case that song, you can't do that. When you give God something, you give it to him. You give it to him. One last thing I'll tell you and I'll let you go. One time, Saul was chasing David. David, you know, was anointed to be king, but it was like 22 years later before it was handed over to him, you see. And Saul was chasing him. He went to the top of a mountain. And David said these words, surely this time I will die at the hands of Saul. And he had no place to go. He's got me. He's surrounded me. I'm at the top of this mountain. All he's going to do is just going to come up here. I got no place to go. And maybe you feel trapped. Anybody feel trapped tonight? I'm trapped. But before he could get to the top of the mountain, a messenger came and tapped him on the shoulder and said, Saul, the Philistines are back at the camp. The Philistines have invaded where our wives and our children live. And he said, oh my God, I gotta leave. And he left David on that mountain and went and chased another enemy. He can get your enemy so involved with other things, they don't have time for you. They don't have time to fool with you because they got other bigger battles to fight than what you're. Would you stand? Would you come? Let me ask you that. Would you come tonight? Somebody just needs to yield and spread it out before the Lord and say, tonight's the night I give it to God. Tonight's the night where, God, you take control. I'm out of this thing. It is finished. I commend it into your hands, God, because I'm tired of dealing with it. I'm tired. Oh, God. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Give it to God. Hallelujah.